gather snow from down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.
In Matthew's Gospel, the parable of the sower, along, I believe, with the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, are probably the two most well-known of his stories. And parables are wonderful ways of imparting a truth, imparting a message. Because a parable is derived from not the word for word, palabra, Latin, but parable as in parabolic, a parabolic mirror. You're all familiar with parabolic mirrors and how they are neither perfectly convex or concave. They're kind of scoop shaped. If you can now go back to your, I know it's a hot morning, but you're back in middle school geometry and you're doing your XY coordinates. I can hear the excitement. You're doing your XY coordinates, right? And so you have one fixed point and one moving point, and by the formula yields the curve on your axis. That's the whole point of a parable. There's a fixed point, which is the truth, and there is the moving point, which is the story. And that's how Jesus taught a lot in parables. And this parable in Matthew jumps off the page because Jesus rattles it off, and the disciples say, why do you keep talking in parables? Because we don't understand what you mean. The same our reaction as well. And that's why Jesus goes ahead and explains it all. There's only a handful of them where they are explained. Most of them, we have to do the work, you see, of those XY coordinates to derive the truth, to get to the truth. So we might rename this parable after looking at it and thinking about it, not so much the parable of the sower, but the parable of the seed. I mean, it's really written from the perspective of the seed, not so much from the sower, because the seed is just being scattered willy-nilly all over the place. A broadcast sowing, I think it's called in agricultural terms. This is how nature functions. You know your lawn and those things called dandelions, right? And how many seeds does a dandelion, they kind of go to and go, the seeds go everywhere, to wherever they're going to go, wherever they end up, they're going to land, they're going to do something. The sower really doesn't care about efficiency or conserving the seed. The sower is just kind of doing what nature would have nature do. And the seed doesn't always fall where it is going to be best used or best grown, where it will flourish in the story. I mean, that's kind of obvious, except for Matthew, he has some particular concerns about where the seed doesn't work out. One of Matthew's overarching themes is to love God with heart and soul and strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, is all through Matthew. So where there are triple failings, if there are three failures, they're almost always heart, soul, strength. Failures of those three characteristics of human life. So for example, the seed that doesn't take root owing to not having enough soil, that will be failure of heart, soul, and strength. So the heart fails when the seed falls in the path but is not understood. It's just lying on the path and it doesn't have any particular chance. The seed that falls on rocky ground doesn't develop and therefore it lacks soul. And the seed that falls amid the thorns is a failure of strength, choking, stifling, distracting, overcome. So failures of heart and soul and strength. But back to gardens and plants and planting for a moment, because as I said, the parable parable is about seed, after all. There really was a sower, a human person, who combined spreading seed and faith and God's love, and who lived and worked, as it turns out, in our neck of the woods, the United States, or I should say my newly adopted neck of the woods here in Michigan, John Cashman. But you might know him better as Johnny Appleseed. Johnny Appleseed, born Jonathan Cashman, came into the world in 1774 in Leominster, Massachusetts, which is near Worcester, Fitchburg, about the middle of the strait. And at that time, that was the edge of the frontier. Colonial America existed pretty much to modern day Indiana. So you were on the edge of the known American world, as it were, at that time. And he was an interesting person. He and his brother set off to seek their fortune in Ohio, and at about 1805, at age 30, he has two life-changing experiences. At age 30, you see the connections with our Lord. One is that he embraced the teachings of the new church as set forth by Emanuel Swedenborg. And if you've heard of the Swedenborgian church, they are the descendants of his teachings. It's a church that emphasizes thought and science. Swedenborg is a scientist, reason, and also a connection to creation. The other influence on his life was he apprenticed himself to an apple grower who had one of the first orchards in Ohio. Bells. Maybe that's because truth is being proclaimed in St. Michael's. That's just a little aside. So Johnny found his calling. Apples for him were a mysterious and symbolic fruit. The fruit not mentioned specifically in Genesis that led to the fall, but nonetheless by tradition, that is what Eve and Adam partake of, and the loss of paradise that it brought. So for Johnny, apples were the thing. Why not bring apples to people and show them at the same time the kingdom of God that was yet to come? So off he went, traveling and preaching, living simply, staying where he was welcomed, often living in the land. The image we have is that he scattered seed like the sower of our parable, but actually he did that and he founded and started nurseries, planned and protected orchards that became successful. His efforts introduced apples to Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, West Virginia, and parts of Ontario. That's how much he got around on foot, proclaiming his message. He was a conservationist, a promoter of animal rights, a friend of Native Americans who believed he had been touched by the Great Spirit. Everywhere he went, he planted trees and he preached. And at his death in Fort Wayne, Indiana in 1845, he left his sister over 1,200 acres of valuable apple trees. The apple that is called the Johnny Appleseed is a descendant of those same trees to this day. One final note about the practices of Jonathan Cashman and why the moniker Appleseed is a fitting name for him. As I mentioned, he was an ardent supporter of the new church, the teachings of Swedenborg. Based on his reading of scripture, that is Swedenborg's and Johnny's as well, he rejected the botanical practice of grafting as a means of propagation, that is, when you take a cutting and you graft it onto an existing tree. Johnny believed it was God's will that seeds alone should sprout new plants and trees. The power of new growth was in the seed. That was the source of God's creative purpose with regard to plants. And so that's what Johnny promoted. So in his ardent and somewhat unorthodox way, he believed that as extravagantly spread as seeds were, so should God's word be. His approach approach was eccentric and different, but greatly beloved. The seeds of his trees were also the seeds of life. It brought people into community, into faith, and into the grace of God's creation. Not all of his seeds endured. Not all of them germinated. Not all of them found ideal soil and perfect growing conditions. But those seeds that did yielded much. 30, 60, 100 times or more, as Matthew would have us know. Think for a moment of the seeds that we all can share in our lives and the good work that we can do in places that we least expect, by means that we don't think are necessarily strong, or by ways that we have to leave and leave to God's imagination. So we give thanks for sowers of seed and for Johnny Appleseed as well. A legacy of a sower who went out to sow, and a triumph of loving God with heart and soul and strength. As the rain and the snow come from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I promise. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.